I'm glad that the grace of the Lord reaches all the way down to me. Because we wouldn't have a chance of ever getting anywhere without it. Thinking about a scripture in John, now I'd appreciate your prayers this evening that the Lord will help us to understand His mind. God uses lots of analogies in the Bible. He compares people to different things. In one place, He compares people to trees. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And in those analogies, there are things about those analogies that help us to understand what our purpose is, what we're supposed to do. He didn't just pick something. I could say that... I could make up an analogy of how we're supposed to do, and I could compare it to a car or a truck or some sort of dish of food, and I could compare and I could say this is how we need this to be. But I believe after studying the Bible that God made different things for the purpose of using them to teach us. So, John 15, start with that. We've been talking about God's cause, and as I've said, it's a really broad subject. We wouldn't have time in a revival to cover all the aspects of it. I don't know how many revivals you'd have to do that. You could talk about how important honesty is, or how to put on the whole armor of God, or how critical faith is in our lives. And all those are very good and they're very important. I do have a few things that the Lord has burdened me with that are all critical to the cause of God and what I've mentioned about Nebuchadnezzar. And how he had a dream about a stone that was cut out without hands and it filled the whole earth. That stone, of course, was Jesus Christ and the kingdom he came to bring. And it would behoove all of us to learn how we can effectively be a part of the great cause that the Lord has set up, that the Lord has here on this earth. So let's start in John 15. Here's an analogy. It says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So here we have an analogy in which we're compared to a vine in a vineyard. The Lord is the vine, and we are the branches of the vine. And what can we do to be profitable to the Lord and to His cause? Why, of course, it's to bring forth much fruit. Let's introduce a new component. John, the 12th chapter and the 24th verse. Here's another analogy. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Why is it that way? You know, this verse is similar to the one in John, but there's a component that's not in John explicitly, as it is, it's the same as it is in John 15, except that there's another component that's not explicitly mentioned in John 15, and it says that unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's not profitable. It doesn't make anything that's worth anything. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'd like, by the help of the Lord, to zero in on this part of it. The world, to a large extent, poo-poos the idea of dying in the sense that this scripture is talking about. But for us to be able to bring forth fruit for the Master, for us to be able to be servants and profitable ones for His cause, we're going to have to die. And last night we talked about preparing our hearts to seek the Lord, breaking up our fallow ground so that He can rain righteousness on us. That has to be done first. What I am talking about this evening is a little bit different than what we talked about last night, but it's in the chain of events. The very first thing we have to do is to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. But living for the Lord is something that cannot be done while we preserve all of the things that God gave us and say, "This is mine. These are mine." The scripture in Romans, we won't turn there, but it's in the 12th chapter, and it says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, unto holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service." Why does it say it's your reasonable service? Because He first loved us. Because He died for us. Because He shed His blood, because, folks, there is no cause so noble as the cause of God tonight. If I could convince us all in this room, what we need to do in this life, sometimes I think we take our lives and we look down at the ground when we need to look up. I had a job a few years ago and needed some help with it. It was out of state. So we hired some men to help with that. They were just local men in the area. Sometimes we hire what we call temp labor. And that's just somebody that, it's an agency that provides generic labor. You need help sweeping the floor, you need to unwrap boxes, what have you, and you can do that. I needed something a little more advanced than that. I needed some people to put on some shelves, put some screws underneath to hold them, nothing critical. Needed somebody that knew how to use a screw gun. And so we hired some people from a company that advertised themselves as being basically advanced, skilled temp labor. They were about double the price as regular temp labor. And so I think it was four men that showed up the next morning. And I explained to the men what needed to be done, and then I went, did some of my own work, came back to check on them, and they're over here sweeping the floor. I don't know where they got the brooms. And I said, that's not what I need. You sweep the floor, it's going to be dirty again in an hour. We'll clean up when we're finished. Let's get back to this. So they get back to it, and I come back later, and they're cleaning something. And I said, what are y'all doing? They said, well, we ran out of work. So it went on like that, and I would try to show. I said, look, if you run out of work, come to me. I don't need the floor swept, okay? I don't need all that stuff done. I need it to be clean at the end of the job, or, you know, partly at the end of the day, but not right now. And every time I fought this battle all morning long, where every time I would come around, I'd turn my back and I'd go do something, and I'd come back around and here over here sweeping the floor again, or dusting or something. They found they weren't laying down. They weren't on their phones, but they were busy. Busy, just doing stuff to keep them busy to where they could say, I worked. And finally around, I think it was a little before lunchtime, I called them together and I said, look guys, I don't need y'all anymore. Pack up your things and go home. One of them looked at me and said, this is ridiculous. You've got all this work here and how can you possibly get it done? You called us in here because you need help and I see the big job you've got to do. And you're letting us go now? Yes? Because the job's not getting done. You see, I had another worker one time that I set to do a certain project, and I said, This is what needs to be done. And I walked away, and there were five, or I think there were eight. There were eight different things, and they were all the same thing. And I knew he knew how to do what needed to be done. So I walked away and I left him. I left him plenty of tools to get done. And I went and I did four of them and came back, and he's still working on the first one. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I just can't get this right. Can't get this cut right. I said, this is the tolerance level right here. So if you've got this good, if you've got it, this is the tolerance level on the job, okay? So if you've got this, then put it up. Put it in and forget about it. He said, I couldn't live with myself that way. I didn't tell him, but later I thought, I did not hire you to feel good about yourself. I hired you to do something for me. You understand what I'm trying to say? I hired this person. I had an expectation of what needed to get done. I had a certain, and I knew what he could do, and I knew what could be accomplished, and I gave a goal. I said, this needs to be done. And then when I came back, he's over here struggling with this over here, and it's something that could have been, he could have moved down the road a long time ago. And I said, look, this is my expectation. I want this to be done. And he said, you know what? I couldn't live with myself that way. He's not working for himself, okay? He's working for me. If I say this is good enough, if I told him a 1-inch crack in a crown joint is good enough, then it ought to be good enough for him, right? I didn't tell him that. I think I said something like a 16th or an 1/8 of an inch and tell them that the painters will caulk it and then we're going to move on. But you know, sometimes I feel like that we can get in a mode of busy work for the Lord. The Lord wants us to bring forth much fruit. What is the difference? I want to ask you the difference between a profitable and an unprofitable servant. Or what is the difference between working for the Lord the way we're supposed to and finding ourselves doing busy work? You know what the difference is? How much ourselves are involved. That's the difference. Because the busy work's easy, you see. What I had these people doing, I wanted them, in the first story I told you, I had four men working, and the expectation was that I'm not going to have to put all these shelves up around the room. That's going to be done for me. I can go set cabinets back here in this part of the building, and all this is going to get done, but I had to keep coming back. And then one time I said, why aren't y'all doing what I told you to do? They said, we're done. We ran out of work. Well, I've got another project. I've got something else that I need to get done. When you get done with what you're doing, come to me and tell me, I'm done. What can I have to do now? You see, that's the difference between a profitable and an unprofitable servant, is that these people did not have a heart. They had a heart to make money. They had a heart to get their paycheck. They had a heart to stay busy long enough where they could clock in their hours and say, I was honest about it. I stayed busy. I worked the whole time I was there bossing. I didn't take a break doing it either. But you know, they were not doing what I wanted them to do. Got another analogy before we move on here. What if, I've been thinking about the word profitable a lot lately. And the question is, in the cause of God, are we profitable or not? And the answer to that question lies in how much we have consecrated our lives to serve the Lord. Because some of the things in serving the Lord are not easy. We can't go through life picking all the low-hanging fruit. So, what if we... I don't know how this building's constructed exactly, but this is hollow. There's a space under here. There's probably a concrete slab. I'm guessing that's a concrete slab, and this is built with some 2x6s or 2x8s. And there's a space under here. But what if somebody came along and said, "I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, and I'm going to dedicate the next year of my life to serving Him, and I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish the inside of this crawl space. I'm going to carpet it. I'm going to panel it out like this is all paneled out. I'm going to put baseboard in there. I'm going to put drywall up the sides of the pony wall and across the top of it. Then I'm going to mud it, and then I'm going to paint it." There's no part of the house of the Lord that should be unfinished or unsightly, right? I hope you understand my little analogy here. Sometimes we can get busy doing, "Oh, I worked for the Lord. I'm working for the Lord. I'm doing this." I want to tell you, the Lord has an expectation for every one of us in our lives that we will bring forth much fruit so that we can be connected to the vine. Because it says that every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now there's a time He works with us. We have the parable about the man digging and saying, "This fruit, no fruit this year, no fruit the next year." And then the husbandman of the garden says, "Let it alone this year also. Don't cut it down yet." The Lord works with us, and He's so merciful. His grace comes, and it deals with us, and it gently deals with us. But at some point, we've got to be able to start bearing fruit. I want to go to Luke, the 14th chapter, 26th verse. Says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That sounds like some pretty strong language, doesn't it? "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's kind of hard to get more plain than that in the Scriptures. Obviously, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my brothers and sisters. And I care about what happens in my own life also. I got myself out of bed and went and ate some breakfast this morning and that somebody else cooked, but I got out and ate it. This just means to love less is really all it means. If any man come to me and loves his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life more than he loves me and my gospel, he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know, sometimes we're going to have to do things as Christians that will look for all the world to people who are looking on like we are utterly wasting our lives. Remember the story? Well, let's go ahead and read it. It's in Mark the 14th chapter in the 3rd verse. Talking about Jesus, it says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her." These disciples, I think one of the other gospels that tells this story that said that the disciples were the ones that murmured. The disciples were they misplaced God's cause several times in the Bible there. In the one scripture where it talked about where he was going to Jerusalem and he came to some Samaritans that wouldn't let him in their village and they wanted to call down fire, he said, "It's not my cause. I know you're trying to preserve, I know you're trying to promote my cause, but that's not it." Here's another place. You know, it said, they said it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. What a waste. Did you see that? She had this box of ointment, and Brother Jim down the street here is in need, and these people over here are in need, and we've got this project that we've been waiting forever to be able to get the funding for, and this was a waste. Lord, say something to her. Lord, I just teach her. Be kind to her though, because she didn't mean it. But we gotta let her know that that's not the way you do it. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with ye always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could." Or in other words, she hath done all she could, or she hath done the most that she could. You know, the Scripture says that whatsoever we meet, whatsoever measure we meet is going to be measured to us again. You know, that is not just talking about judging other people. Whatever we put into life and for God's cause is going to be what we get out of it, but in a much greater fold. If we put in a little bit of effort, we're going to get a little bit of blessing. If we put in a whole lot of effort, we're going to get back a whole lot of blessing. I know people, I have seen people before that have lived in fear and lived in darkness and gloom and misery because they didn't ever want to let go of the things that they thought were the very most valuable to them to preserve their happiness in life. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I was thinking about, and I wrote down a few things that need, well, everything needs to be sanctified to the Lord. You know, we have things. We have resources. That includes things like money and time. We have desires, things that we want out of life. We have talents, things that are natural abilities that the Lord's blessed us with. We have intellect and reason. Those things are all things that are under our control. You know, the Lord says that unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Does that mean that we're going to go and give all of our money away? And we're going to go leave our wife and our children, and we're going to go give our house away, or at least sell the house and give all the money to the poor, or whatever? And does it mean we're going to do that? Does it mean that we're going to lay down all of our reason and our intellect and say, I'm here to do the will of God. Pastor, tell me what I need to believe. You know, the Lord gave us resources that are ours, but they need to be sanctified. If we have money, it needs to be sanctified. If we have time, it needs to be sanctified. If we have intellect and reason, and we all have that, it needs to be sanctified to the Lord. That means that I am going, what's the song say? Take thy will and make it mine, or take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. What's the other verse say? Take my silver and my gold, would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. But sometimes when we sanctify those things to the Lord, it appears to some to be a waste. You know, that I think of my grandpa. He was a very talented man in some ways. When he was a young person, He had two things in particular that he was really good at, three things that I can think of. I'm talking about my mom's dad, Brother Leslie. He was a very capable musician. And also, he was very good at drafting. And he was very good at basketball. The coach wanted him to... The coach wanted him to pursue, I'm not sure how far he could have gone, but the coach wanted him at school, wanted his talent in basketball, and there were other, the music world could have used him also. You know, there are things that we can have, and we say, you know what, if I don't pursue this to the fullest in this direction, it's a waste. So I better give it all I've got. You know, the Lord doesn't, when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, He doesn't make us take all of those things and throw them in the trash. But those things need to be sanctified to the Lord. Do we have a talent? Do we have intellect? Do we have whatever resources we have? I want to ask, is there something that the Lord wants to do with them? Maybe it's something that if we do it, you know, my grandpa never made it in the basketball world. He never did. He never made it. He was never a famous architect. None of his songs ever made the top 40 hits on the radio, anything like that. You can Google his name, you're not going to get very much in terms of the world. But he allowed the Lord to use what he had and do things with it that have benefited me. I know probably they've benefited some other people. And how many stories can we tell like that? Of people who had abilities or had something. You know, we've got a song. It says, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to hear his dear cause. You know who wrote that? I will say there's a little bit of controversy about who wrote that, but I have read that the one who wrote that was the crown prince of Sweden in the 1800s. He fell in love with a girl that was all out for serving the Lord. And he was all out for serving the Lord. And they said, let's get married and serve the Lord together. And the throne forbade it because she was of the common blood. He married her anyway, and in so doing, he gave up his right to be the king, the future king of Sweden. After he did, he wrote that song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I want to ask us tonight, what's important in life? What's really important? Do you know that we end up doing what's important to us? We do. We really do. If I've got a flight to catch, I'm gonna do everything I can to catch it. Do we try to get to church on time? I was about late tonight. And I was late just this past Sunday. I was late to church. But, you know, and I'm not even trying to draw a comparison. I'm not even saying it's wrong if you sinned if you come into church late. But what I'm saying is that the plane's not going to wait for you. Okay? If I had a wooden box and I told my children this is the most important thing in our house, I could tell them every single night if I wanted to. But if they saw me standing on that box to get a jar of pickles, or if they saw me using it to... they saw me using one of the metal corners to drive in a nail that wasn't... You know what I'm saying. Do you know that our children pick up what's really important in our lives? Well, think about this. The average person knows between 20 and 30,000 words in the English language. Okay? How do you think children learn all that? I have not been asked 20,000 times, Daddy, what's this word mean? They learn by context. Children learn by context. If they see that I say, I'm thirsty, and then soon after I get a drink, and then later they hear that word again in another situation, but the same thing comes about, after a while they build. Those children are smart. And they build a knowledge of what words mean. You know, words can have such subtle differences in meaning. The word happy is similar to the word excited or joyful, but each of them have different connotations, and we use them as tools, and our children pick up on those subtle differences in meaning. Is that not incredible? I want to ask you, if they have the capability to learn words from context, if I tell them, this is the most important, this is the most important, this is the most important, you think they're going to learn it that way? Or do you think they're going to learn what's really most important in my life from watching what I do? I want to go to Colossians 3, 23rd verse. Says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, I don't think it'll do any violence to it to turn it around a little bit. You know, and it's good. Whatever you do, act like it's to the Lord. But I want to ask us a question tonight. If serving the Lord was a business, would you succeed? Would it be profitable? Maybe that's a better question. If serving the Lord became a business to you, maybe you'd have a dream or something, and in your dream, serving the Lord, and you're doing it, you had a business, just like you serve the Lord, would it be profitable? Would it bring forth very big returns? We're talking about the cause of God. And dying to ourselves is going to be one of the key elements to even being able to know what that is and to do it. I remember one time, you know, a lot of times I think that we get in our mind, I want to do this and I want to do it for the cause of God. But you know, if our affections aren't really tuned to the will of God, we may end up doing things that we think is for God and it's really not. I remember one time we're in a meeting and many years ago, and somebody came to me and said, I want you to sing a special song with me. I said, all right. What is it? And they told me what it was. I said, well, just let me know when. And the meeting went on. They didn't really have an opportunity to sing it. And of course, special songs are just like anything else. We believe in Holy Spirit leadership. And so I was thinking, well, Lord, you know, Lord knows when and if this needs to be sung. Got down to the close of the meeting and still hadn't had an opportunity. And I was amazed one day when there was no opportunity for it, but it was the last bit that there was in the meeting pretty much, and it was flowing and everything was going good, and all of a sudden it's time to sing the special song. And I'm thinking, oh no, not now. You know, the Lord wants us to learn how to serve Him effectively. When we consecrate our hearts to Him and we say, Lord, I want to serve You if I don't get to sing my song. I want to serve You if they don't pick my meal in the potluck. I want to serve You no matter what happens. You know, we can have, it says, take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. And we have opinions and we have feelings and things that need to be laid on the altar, because the cause of God is bigger than our feelings today. I know this is it's just pretty basic stuff here, but it's so vital that we can serve the Lord and die every day. It's not something that's just a one-time thing. We die every day as much as we possibly know how to do. And as we grow, the Lord brings us to one more thing. He says, how about this? Will you consecrate this? Will you consecrate this? Because those things keep us from doing things that the Lord wants us to do. I'll tell you a personal story. The week that the Lord called me to preach, the Lord started dealing with me about something. And I went down to the altar. It was in a meeting. I went down to the altar and prayed, and I'll tell you what it was. And as of then, I had not received my call to preach yet. But earlier in the week, the Lord started dealing with me about a fault that I had. And that was, I liked the approval of people. And I felt like the Lord said, will you consecrate this and serve me even if you don't get that? And so I went down and someone came and prayed with me, and I poured out my heart to the Lord. I felt like, all right, I've given this. And I believe that the Lord has helped me in that area, but it's a natural weakness of mine. And after the Lord called me to preach, I was talking with a minister about that, and I said, you know, the Lord has just asked me to consecrate this real recently about being in people's favor, about wanting people to like me, like what I do. And this minister looked back at me and said, you'll cheat a soul that way. You know, when we hold on to things and we don't consecrate them, sometimes it'll prevent us from doing the thing the Scripture says to be prepared unto every good work. We are vessels to the Lord for His cause, and the Lord knows exactly what we need in order to be qualified to do the jobs He wants us to do. And so that is why He leads us step by step. Sometimes we say, you know what, I can't, maybe it's a neighbor that we can't stand, maybe I don't know what's in your life. Every one of us has a different path that the Lord wants us to walk, but He leads us incrementally. If we circumvent this and we get real, we move. I remember hearing someone telling me one time, if these four people were out of my life, I could really serve the Lord. They're steps. They're just steps. The Lord put those people in there so that this person could advance, because who knows what the next step's going to be. And if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horses? I want to look at something else here. You know, we can learn a lot of lessons from Israel, from ancient Israel. Different. Let's go to Amos. I want to look at something in there. The 6th chapter. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calneh, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be thee better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lay upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Folks, I want to tell us today that if there was ever a time to be at ease, it's not now. There are so many things going on around us. Think of the children that are raised in homes. Dysfunctionality, addictions, people that want so bad something better and they don't have it, people that are oppressed, people that live in other lands that don't have the freedom that you and I do to worship in this building without fear of the law coming in and doing something about it. There are, you know what it's like. The world is so dark. Why would we just sit back and say, I've been raised in the truth. I've got the truth. I understand everything now. And we just come to church and we just kind of feed each other and we don't go out and do anything. Why would we want to do that? Folks, there's a cause that's a lot bigger than we are. There's a cause that's so important. Woe to them that are at ease. Don't be at ease. We need to learn how to die. I hope this is making sense this evening. I want to go to Luke 19 and 16. Jesus told a parable of three men. And He gave them responsibilities. He gave them each, I believe in this in this story, he gave them each a pound. And he said, keep these until I come back. They were supposed to do something with them. The first and the second went out, started trading. And 16th verse says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. You know, the guy didn't lose his pound. He didn't come to the Lord and say, you know what, I had this bunch of money and I went into the casino with it and I'm sorry, it's gone. He came and he said, here it is, just like I maintained it. I got what you had and I went to church and I was faithful every time I showed up and I went to work days and I read my Bible every day and prayed too, because that's what the preacher said to do, and I did everything that you know that I thought I had to do to get your pound back to you. And the Lord said, you're a wicked, unprofitable servant. If there's anything that I don't ever want to hear coming out of the mouth of the Lord, it is that I'm a wicked, unprofitable servant. How would you like to get there and say, and hear the Lord say, thou wicked, unprofitable servant? Wouldn't you rather be able to get there and the Lord say, well done? Maybe you don't have 10 pounds to give him out of the pound he gave. Maybe you only got 2. Maybe you've only got 1.5. You know, the Lord, I think in the other story, and I'm not sure where it is. I think it might be in Matthew. Lord, it said he gave to every man according to his ability. The Lord knows what every one of us are capable of. And when we don't have to look at the person over here in the pew next to us or next door and say, well, I'm not doing what he's doing, and so I don't think it's worth even trying. They've got blessings that I'll never get. Folks, the Lord has the very same blood. You can sit here and you can get the same blessing that anyone else can get. You can get the same joy. You can get the same peace. You can get the same love and all of the attributes that God promised to every one of us, but you're going to have to die to do it. You know, the children of Israel, and I don't have this scripture written down, but there is a place where they said the way of the Lord is not equal. The way of the Lord is not equal. We teach a little bit differently about tithing. Everything that we have belongs to the Lord. And that's why if somebody asks me, do you tithe? It's not that I don't tithe. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. And you know, the Scripture says that as much as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. It says that we are created unto good works. And so, I'm using this as a literal example, money, because it's real easy. We all know what we're talking about, but this applies to every facet of our lives. When we are the Lord, you know the Lord said, greater man hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know that was something that had never been done before Jesus came? The Lord did not require us to do anything that He did not first do Himself. And when He came and laid down His life, He said, now you can do the same thing because I did it for you and I'm giving you grace to do the very same thing. And we can look at that scripture and we can say, well, you know what? If my brother was out in the middle of the train track and I saw a train coming, or if he was in the street and I saw a car coming, I would give my life to... And we can think those noble thoughts and maybe we would do that. But you know, there's a lot of opportunities to lay down our life where we won't even have to do that. We have people in our sphere of influence that are going to take our efforts, our resources, and our time to be able to impart to them the gospel. There are people around us that are dying spiritually every day, and the question is, will we die so that they can live? Jesus died, and He said... I think it's in 1 John, it said, He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Our own life also. That's what the Scripture says. If you don't hate your father and your mother, and yea, your own life also, ye cannot be my disciple. Does that mean I'm going to go give everything I have to my brother and then kill myself so that nobody has to take care of me? No, it doesn't mean that. But everything we've got is the Lord's. I want to ask you, have we been able to get quiet and ask the Lord what He wants out of us in our life? You know, I've struggled before in my own spirit with a fear that if I give everything to the Lord, if I say, yes, everything's the Lord's, and I say, Lord, this house is yours, all my money's yours, my time's yours, and if I entrust it to the Lord, as it says in the Scriptures we're supposed to do, that the Lord's gonna, He's gonna take it all. Folks, the way of the Lord is equal. I want to go back to John 15. Reread some of those verses. In verse 2 it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then in verse 6 it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, God loves every one of us, and we're valuable to Him until the end. But at the end, if we find ourselves in that place where we have, maybe we've maintained, maybe we feel like that we've received something from the Lord and we've maintained it, but if we haven't strove to go out and do the very most that we can do to promote God's cause, because it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That is the way that we can glorify God, is to bring forth fruit. And if we go and we don't, it says that every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And I am afraid that if we hold on to something, maybe we got something from the Lord, maybe we got saved, maybe, and then we just go and we don't put out effort and we don't give our heart and say, Lord, everything I've got, my reason, my resources, my time, all that's yours. I'll change my job if you want me to. I'll move if you want me to. It's not unreasonable, folks, to tell the Lord we'll do those things if He wants us to. The way of the Lord is not unequal. He's righteous. I'll just say this, you do that and you'll have a much better life than if you tried to hold on to something. It says that every branch, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We have a lot of trees on our land. Every year I go get branches that died. And I love my trees. I have some trees that I look, and sometimes I just stand there and I look at them and I think, what a magnificent thing. And a lot of times I think about the scriptures where the Bible talks about us being fruitful trees planted by the rivers of water. Because we've got some of our biggest trees are by the creek. But sometimes there are branches on those trees and they die, and sometimes a whole part of the tree will die, and I'll look at it and I'll think, I hope I don't lose this tree. And I don't cut it down while there's still a branch or two that's budding and bringing forth leaves. I'll leave it because I think, you know what, maybe it'll be all right. But after a while, when that branch gets all dead, and then you can see the smaller twigs are disappeared because it's brittle, they broke off, you can tell that rot is starting to set in. They're dead, and they've been dead for a long, long time. Even though once they were alive, they had to have been, or they wouldn't be the size that they are. And there comes a point where it doesn't matter if it's the best looking tree in my yard. That branch has got to come down, or it's going to hit somebody, or it's going to get in the way of the mower. It's going to be in the way. You know what I do with it then? I don't use it to build furniture. I don't use it for anything. I take my trailer and I go around and I pile all those branches all together and I take them and I burn them. They're not profitable for anything at that point. May the Lord help us today. I want us to get a hold of this tonight. We can't live our lives and keep them to ourselves. He that would save his life is going to lose it. Jesus said that. Maybe we can sing that song, number 239. Y'all pray for me.